who he is, his character, and one is that he is sovereign. He is Lord of all. He is sovereign. He does what he wills and pleases. And the secondly is the very great importance that those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ are full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Lord. We leak, we need to be filled. Ephesians 4 reminds us to be filled, continually filled with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. We have to acknowledge our need and he will fill. We have to acknowledge that we cannot do anything. We're powerless. We need to live the Christian life, to live the life that is pleasing to the Lord and which will have an impact on family, on colleagues, on neighbours, on college friends. We need to be full of the Lord. We need to be walking with Jesus. So the importance of being full, filled up with the Holy Spirit and of the Word of God. They are the same. We looked at two passages, didn't we? We looked at the Ephesians passages, which says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and your home life will be changed. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, relationships will be improved. Be filled with the Word of God, Colossians says, your relationships will be transformed, because you will be transformed. You see, so they're the same, and when we spoke about the steam engine rather poorly. Well, friends, as we continue in our Christian walk, and let us remind ourselves, we are on a pilgrimage. We've been called out. We've been called out of the world. Those of you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you now are serving a new master. That came out in the prayer just now, that he is our Lord. He is our Lord. He's not Lord of the world, but he is Lord of the believer. He reigns within our hearts. Hallelujah. And therefore, wherever we are, we are carriers, if you like. We're temples of the Lord. That should make a difference, shouldn't it? But we're living in very uncertain times, aren't we? We know that the nations of the world are as the scripture says, in uproar, that we're suffering. There's the economies, the financial, the chaos which is taking place. Of course, it initiated in the United States, but the whole world has been thrown into turmoil, hasn't it? So what is happening? We've got, even locally, in our next town, we've got the big leaders of the world, the G20 leaders, meeting in Horsham, even this weekend, aren't they? And they're trying to get a common purpose. They're trying to understand how to deal with what a very crippling problems for the economy and for the lives of the nations, individuals, and the politics, where they will probably not get the right answers, because they are not seeking heavenly wisdom. They're not seeking the wisdom from above. We should pray for them, but you see, the whole world has been thrown into turmoil, and voices increasing, and out of this conference, out of this weekend, you will hear voices will be heard for global unity, for global laws, global regulations. Why? Because it is all aim is following the pattern as laid out in Scripture. See, friends, I saw a survey even just this past week, or I read of a survey, that 1% of all Americans, only 1%, I don't know how they get this, but this is what I read, 1% of Americans claim to have a biblical worldview. Only 1%. Only 1%. And we've got to be so aware of what the scripture is saying for these end times, because then we can live in the power of the Holy Spirit and be a voice, a prophetic voice to those around us, and we won't be taken up by the fear. You see, there's a lot of intimidation by the enemy, And so it's driving what is happening. You'll hear voices this weekend, and it's all aimed at solidifying the world politically, economically, and religiously, unifying it. And out of it all, not only will you find that we have this one world political stage, of course there will be divisions, but one world religion. Last Sunday evening, many of us we saw the DVD here, didn't we? A sermon by Warren Smith, as he preached to 800 or so Calvary Chapel pastors. And he talked about this coming one world and how the New Age, he had a New Age background, how the New Age has infiltrated the church, you see. And I mentioned a little earlier that although Islam's a big threat, and I forwarded an email to some of you even this past week about the attack on Israel and what is in fact biblical Christianity as well, by so-called leaving church people. Now, in a sense, this doesn't surprise me, and it doesn't surprise you, because the attacks will come from those who claim to be following Jesus. We've got to be wise up to that. Now, what it could do is drive us into despair. Give up. It's hopeless. Let's put our feet up. Let's just hide our heads under the sand. Let's become all ostriches and wait until the Lord comes and rescues us. A lot, 25% of the New Testament is for today. In fact, more. But 25% is concerned about the days we're living in. So that we are fully armed, fully prepared. We don't give up, we don't go into despair, but we have a voice because, as we sung and said just now, our trust is in the Lord God. He hasn't abandoned us. He is for his people, and he longs that others may come into the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But the world is getting further and further into sin, iniquity, depravity, and this global religion, this global thing, and people will be scaring here, there, and everywhere as knowledge increases and so on. But people of God, be still and know that I am God. The waters will rage, they will roar. We have been raised up. I am convinced. I know it. We have been raised up for such a time as this, have we not? And even our dear Christian friends and that, who perhaps don't have the knowledge or the background or the understanding of the biblical and the prophetic times, we can help them. In some cases, brother, sister, we will be rescuing them from the fire. Others will just scorn us and call us be arrogant, narrow-minded, judgmental, and so on. We just have to leave that as long as we operate in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been so blessed, so helped. I thank God for those who were kind enough and loved me enough to rescue me from some of my own disasters and my own making and wrong thinking. I've been really grateful for that. And so we must help others. But all come from knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah! The truth sets us free. So we're going to, in these days, see a lot. And the Vatican, I said Islam is a big threat. I don't underestimate Islam because you've only got to understand what is happening in Islam-controlled countries to know that it's an evil religion, and it's a controlling, domineering religion, and that's what they want over here. I don't underestimate that. But that isn't our major attack. It is churchianity. And the Vatican will be central. It will. It will. I tell you. And Islam and Vatican will become closer together, and other religions. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, is a very interesting book. It's a wonderful book. Some say it's divided into three parts. I tend to think it's more two parts. The first 39 chapters really in a nutshell, you've got the Old Testament. The Old Testament encapsulated. 39 chapters. And then from 40 to 66, you've really got the New Testament. It's looking forward. It's interesting, because how many books are there in the Bible? 66. 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. And Isaiah, if you like, is divided into two. 39, and then from 40 onwards. It's amazing. And here, in chapter 40, Isaiah is looking forward, actually, to the time of captivity, but also of their return. It's an incredible chapter, this, as all chapters are in the Bible. Chapter 40. Comfort ye, as the authorized says. Comfort ye, my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley should be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor is beast sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? He who sits upon the circle of the earth and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted, scarcely shall they be sown, scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when he also will blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is sovereign. God is in control of history. God is in control of history. Did you notice that what we just read, one of the things it says, you know, he names the host, he names the stars, not one is missing. Now, just as an aside, God told Adam to name the animals. Man named the animals. God told him to. God gave him authority. God has not given to you and to me, man, to name the stars. God named the stars. He put them there. So please, if any of you, even now, seem to be influenced by the star sign you were born with, repent. Repent. It's been something in your past which you've not asked the Lord's forgiveness. Ask him for it now. Please. This is sovereign God. Hallelujah. Oh, he's the creator. Have you not heard? Do you not know? He's the sovereign one. He's the creator. The nations are but dust before him. Dust on a scale. Specks. Lord, have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten me? Were you with me this week, Lord? When I got myself in a real fix, I called out to you. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. Child of God, he looks upon you and thinks upon you, and he longs. With all the commotion and turmoil which is going on in the world, in our nation, in politics, in the social order, with children being unruly and disordered, all this is prophesied. Children doing their own thing. Young people, you know, friends, it does cost us to be a Christian. It doesn't cost us money. It doesn't mean merit, but we live in response to what the Lord has done for us, and we respond to his love, his gracious overtones. And he has asked us, now I have called you, be separate, come out from among them. And we've got to come out from some things which are contaminating and perhaps even destroying our children. Some of us are having to rethink how our children are being educated and so on. It will cost. For example, the Christian Institute have reminded us just this week, 2 days ago, of the a primary school in London where the children were told that they were, and this is a primary school, not secondary, that they were going to learn and understand homosexuality and accepting it and so on. Well, about 43 children were taken out of these particular classes. Many of the parents who removed the children were Muslim, others were Christians with convictions. Now the council are writing to each parent and saying that they took their children out and that they what is the word? You know, it's illegal. Yes, yes, that was the word. I could think of that one. It was something much more profound. But unauthorized absence. You see, now, brothers, sisters, if we care about our young people, we're going to have to make stands. We are, how our heart goes out, even to the teachers in our congregation, the parents in our congregation, the children in our congregation, no influence, that we maintain the godly walk, because it may cost us. It may cost us our reputation, jobs, or whatever. But we've got to make decisions which are godly. And He will help us. He will strengthen us when we make a stand. You know, brothers, sisters, when you stood up for Jesus, and although it may hurt because of perhaps the vile abuse or whatever, or the little comments, God has stepped in, and it gives you courage. The little steps that we take enable us to take the bigger steps, so that when we are told, hey, if you're going to be successful, if you're going to have food on your table, if you're going to have clothes for your children, you've got to accept the mark. We've already had practice of walking with the Lord and being full of the Holy Spirit. And we'll be fellowshipping with each other. I do fear for believers who put themselves away from other believers. Because we do need each other. We really do. But have you not known? You know, He gives power to the weak. To those who have no might, He increases strength. Hallelujah! This is God's heart. Comfort ye, my people. He longs to do this. Hallelujah! And one day, what these beautiful prophetic scriptures point to is that Jesus is going to reign heaven and earth with us, His people. We won't have to worry whether it's a Republican government, Democratic, Conservative, Labour, Liberal. We won't have to worry. If Jesus will be back. In this life, in this world, God's given us what we perhaps deserve. But hey, perfection is coming. And by His grace, we will be perfect like Him. I can't. Isn't that beyond us? His sovereign Lord. God will help you to make stands as He will help me. And Isaiah is writing this as if he's already in the future, isn't he? He's already at the time of the Babylonian captivity of Judah, of which the earlier chapters warn will happen. Judgment had been pronounced. Did you notice as we read that chapter how often you hear it reads, the voice of him crying in the wilderness? The voice of the Lord. Last week, if you recall, we mentioned about the Holy Spirit, His sovereign. Sometimes it's in the whirlwind. Sometimes it's the gentle breeze. We just need to be where God is moving. But voices in the wilderness. Aren't you thankful for some of the voices? God speaking in the wilderness. And of course, the grief that Judah was experiencing wasn't just because of her captivity, that they were miles from home. It wasn't just that. Friends, let's be honest before God. We ourselves sometimes are to blame for the plights we get into. We are. We are to blame. Sometimes the plights we get into. If we're honest, we probably have to admit that some of the sorrow in our own lives have been of our own making. How much our lives might have been better, and perhaps we'd have spared others as well if we'd have had our own characters under control. Lordship of Jesus more. See, what brings people inevitably into captivity is sin. It is. The Bible shows this, that every person is a sinner and therefore automatically are under the rule of the devil. The consequence of this is of course threefold. It's a threefold death. It's spiritual, physical, and eternal. But in the midst of this wilderness, a voice is heard. It's a voice of love. It's a voice of love. It's a voice of love. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, says your God. It's a voice from heaven that wants to bring comfort. It's a voice of love. In this case, it's a voice of love which proves that Israel, in spite of her sin, in spite of her disobedience, in spite of her rebellion, in spite of going after false gods, neighbouring gods, is still a voice of love. And of course, this voice is personified in our Lord, Saviour Jesus Christ, the God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The voice of life. Jesus, of course, was even called the Word, wasn't he? Jesus is called the Word. What a beautiful chapter that is. John chapter 1, and the opening verses there. He was the voice of God that came to this earth to bring a message of love. Out of love, he gave himself so that we should be comforted forever. Forever. We can know the comfort of the Lord now. You know, when the cares of life seem to overwhelm us, still trust in the Lord, and he brings, when we are focused on Jesus, when we set our heart, our mind, our affections, our desires on God, those whose minds are stayed upon Jehovah, they will have peace. They will have peace. Is it not wonderful, dear friends, that God has not forgotten us? God has not forgotten you? God has not forgotten me. That's wonderful. It is so wonderful. And I think it will become even more precious when we find ourselves up against it more and more with the authorities and with the religious people and so on. It's the best news that we can have, that God does not leave us. He does not forsake us in our self-induced misery. And maybe even today you're thinking, I wouldn't be in the mess today if I'd have been more obedient, if I hadn't made that step, if I had done that, said that. God doesn't want to leave you in that mess that you have. He wants to speak the voice of love. Israel had to repent. I'm sorry, but I know you can help, you can deliver me, you can bring comfort to me. You can restore to me. I don't have to stay there. Hallelujah. So you see, in the person of Jesus Christ, God came towards us. In the person of Jesus Christ, God came towards us. In the person of Jesus Christ, he sacrificed his life to save us. God wants to have fellowship with us now. Can we really imagine what it means that the Holy Almighty God wants to have fellowship with us? He sacrificed his life that we should be redeemed, forgiven. Now even when we muck up, sometimes big time, when we're willing to forsake that sin and say sorry, mean it, he still wants, this Almighty God wants to have fellowship with us. This is great, isn't it? No wonder Proverbs says, there's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. It's the Lord. Others have forsaken us because of what we've said and done. Perhaps we've done that to other people. Perhaps there's relationships that need to be healed. But God doesn't treat us like that. Oh, isn't he wonderful? It's good news. It's the voice of love. Verse 2. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. speak comfort to Jerusalem. In my mind is a picture of a man wooing a woman. A man wooing a woman. This is in my mind. Wooing a woman. So you see, in the wilderness of this world, we will hear many, many voices. We will hear voices, young people, we will hear voices that promise us all sorts of things. But there's only one true voice of love. A heart that is longing for true love will recognize this voice. In the Song of Solomon, the bride clearly recognizes the voice of her beloved. And when you and I hear the loving voice of God, we will rise from our sleep, our slumber. We will open the door of our life to Him. We will experience the love of God. Who this morning needs to experience the love of God? His comfort. Look to Him. Look to Him. Comfort you. Speak comfort to me. Is the voice of love, is the voice of forgiveness. Because the second part of verse 2 says that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. You see, the voice of God is connected with the voice of forgiveness. Hallelujah. The voice of God is connected with the voice of forgiveness. The love of God is so great, it's infinitely great. But of course there is a problem that must be first solved before man, woman, boy, girl can have peace with God, and that problem is sin, isn't it? Its shadow darkens every sun. And yes, God is seeking the regret, the remorse of man. We must prove that we are sorry. We must repent. But even when we've repented, there's still judgment. The God cannot have fellowship with sin. But that took place on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah! There, the Lord Jesus was made to be sin for us. Hallelujah! And our Lord was judged. He died for our sins that we might not be judged. That her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, and the sinner is justified. You need to be justified. Look to Jesus. The way to God is now free for everyone who accepts in faith, the sacrifice of Jesus. Speak the voice of love, the voice of forgiveness, the voice of preparation, the voice of preparation, the voice of Him crying in the wilderness, verse 3, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Hallelujah. See, the remnant of Israel could only remove the obstacles in the way of their return to the land and there the coming of the Messiah by repenting. Later, of course, John the Baptist, as we read in John chapter 1, fulfilled the words literally when he prepared the way for the Messiah, as we read in John 1 verse 23. The concept of preparing the way, it says, verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. The concept of preparing the way had its origins in the habit of previous kings. previous kings. Before they came to a place, they sent heralds ahead. Heralds went ahead. Heralds went before them, who made sure that all of the people knew of the imminent arrival of the king. And therefore they prepared a suitable reception. Prepare the way. Remove the obstacles. Go ahead. Make sure the people are ready so that a grand reception could be made. The way was to be kept free. It was to be in good condition. Highway. How is it in our lives, brothers, sisters? How is it in our lives? How is it in our lives? Have we experienced the Lord's love, the Lord's forgiveness? Oh, I do hope so. He longs to demonstrate his love to you even this morning. He longs to demonstrate that he is a pardoning God. We need to come as we are. He wants us to receive his love and forgiveness. Comfort ye, my people, says the Lord. And he wants to lead you and me into a deeper relationship with himself. He does. I don't mind whether you're new in the faith or been on this pilgrimage route for many a year. I know my older friends here saying, Lord, I need to know more of you. I need to abandon myself, surrender myself to you more. To have that fellowship with you, to have that communion with you, so that I can walk upright in this sinful, dark world. Hallelujah. He wants to fill us with his glorious presence, friends. To die. The Lord, in his mercy, longs to fill us with his glorious presence. Verse 5 says, so that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. So that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. For this to become possible, friends, we need to prepare the way. The valleys must be exalted, the hills made low. The crooked must be made straight, the rough places plain, smooth. The stumbling stones must be removed. What stumbling stone is in your life? Because only then will the light of the glory of God completely fill our lives. And the earth will see the glory of the Lord. Maybe even now, the voice of your conscience is whispering that you're lacking the light of the glory of God. You are lacking the glory of God, the light of his glory. Are there dark valleys, deep valleys in our lives that need to be exposed to the light of God? Are there any dark valleys in our lives that need to be exposed to the light of the glory of God? Comfort ye, he wants to bring his love, his forgiveness. But we need to be real with God. Because he wants to fill us and bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. Is there any hindrance? Now friends, I don't want us to get into a morbid introspection because, hey, there's sin in our lives, we know that. But is there something that we are willfully doing or committing or saying, maybe an attitude, that is a dark valley, so that the glory of the Lord is not revealed in and through us? He's wooing us. I said just now, it's like a man wooing. God is wooing us. He's not condemning. The devil condemns. He'll bring us into awful darkness and captivity. The Lord frees us. Hallelujah. The Lord frees us. He's longing for freedom. Hey, we've been singing about the release the Lord brings. The captive set free. But we have to be willing. Some things we can hold on to. Today, God is saying, I want you to release that. I want you to release that habit, that sin, that attitude, that unforgiveness. Then my glory will fill you. Is there, it says here, every valley should be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. Maybe one of us has got a mountain of pride that needs to be humbled, that needs to be made low. Just full of self-justification. Maybe pride, we've got to humble ourselves. If we humble ourselves, the Lord will lift us up. His glory will come, will be seen. Are there rough aspects of our characters that need to be made smooth? The Lord's still working on that one with me. I confess it, friends. I thank you for God's forgiveness and the forgiveness of others, but it's recognising, hey, some aspects of the old gym come out sometimes, and His glory is not seen. Is that so with you? Are there still sins in your life that you have not yet confessed? The voice of preparation. The voice of preparation. Friends, are there unresolved conflicts that are in the way? God will help. God longs to give wisdom and to fill us with His glory. Maybe we're really, really struggling in our quiet times. Oh, once upon a time we just loved, however busy we were, just to get alongside. And if we couldn't read the word, we'd put the tape in the car to listen to the word. We would be doing the, I was going to say hoovering, but if you hoover and listen, you can't, something would go wrong. So, but, you know, doing the ironing, listening to the word. Once upon a time we did that. We fed ourselves on the word, even though we were busy, and we just sat and listened to the Lord. And now, hey, the presence of the Lord isn't so real as it was once upon a time. Maybe we're preventing the glory of the Lord, the peace of God, because we just got too busy, or other things have taken over. Is there an idol in your life, in my life? Friends, if we're watching 3 hours of television a night, that's an idol. If we're on the computer playing games or just doing things and we're neglecting the truth, if we're neglecting fellowship with the Lord, if we're neglecting mission, it's become an idol. If we're fanatical about a football, that it just absorbs our thinking, it's become an idol. Any sport, it can become an idol. I'm not saying sport's wrong. But if it becomes an obsession that we're talking the same language as the man down the road, the glory of the Lord cannot be seen. Do you see what I mean? God wants the best for us. We're living in uncertain days. We're living in tumultuous days. We've got to clear the way. Remove the stumbling blocks. The mountains made low. Valleys exalted. So that God can have His free course, His way with us. That we're a blessing. We're a blessing. And so that we can interpret the scripture. God can speak to us from His word, especially the prophetic scriptures. You know, it gladdens me when people can say, read a book like The Shack, which is plainly unchristian, although it's the number one bestseller in Wesley Owen. It's unchristian. It points to the Antichrist. When church members can start reading that and think, that has to be wrong. That's got to be wrong. This is another spirit work. They don't need me, Mark, or Alex to tell them, because they're mature, they're seeing these things. But of course, if we're brand new in the faith, we do need to be told or to be encouraged to discern. But all of us should be able to. And it encourages me that, hey, and we can help our brothers and sisters who perhaps are stumbling with these things. Let us not prevent the glorious presence of God from developing completely in our lives. It's a voice of love. For each and every one of us, I pray for myself that we may so love the Lord with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our being, and that we will enter the rest of faith. That we will just rest in you, Lord, and that anything which you have been speaking to us about this morning, that we will get it uncluttered from our lives. We'll lay it, we'll surrender it at your feet. As Israel was brought back from captivity, Lord, they could not sing a song in the strange land. But Lord, we can sing your song, even though this is strange to us in many ways, because we're in the world but not of the world. But we can sing the song of love, the song of victory, the song of peace, the song of redemption, because your glory has filled us, the light of your glory. Is there anything, Lord, that you have spoken to us this morning? Be gracious to us, we pray. Be merciful to us. Thank you, you operate in grace. We will just forsake those things which grieve you and perhaps hurt others. Any Lord here this morning who are struggling with habits, oh God, may it be so offensive to them that they may see the blood of Jesus and they run to you, Lord, and you will take away even the comforts of what they were doing, that it will be poisonous to them, but fill them afresh. Fill them, fill them, fill them with your love, your grace, your mercy, your peace, your joy. Because what you give, Lord, is eternal. The evil one tempts us and we get hooked, but it will destroy us. But thank you, Lord, the yoke that's been broken. Hallelujah. We pray for the anointing of the Lord himself now. And bring freedom. For any whose relationships are being fractured even at this moment, maybe children with parents, maybe wife, husband, maybe extended members of the family. Lord, if it's for the sake of Jesus, because you said, Lord, you haven't come to bring that sort of peace where there's going to be hostility because of what? Because of the name of Jesus. If we're making a stand for you, help us to do it graciously, Lord, not arrogantly. We pray that the eyes of our loved ones will be open to see Jesus. Lord, please. But if our relationships are fractured because of our personality or because we've done things, said things, we acted in the flesh, you have mercy, Lord, and help us. Be a healer. Please, Lord. Mums who are here, Lord, who are grieving because their loved ones, their children, have forsaken the ways of the Lord. Give them hope. Give them wisdom. Help us to keep on praying, believing, Lord, that you will restore. You are going to do that, Lord. Those who are weeping, bring comfort to them. Comfort you, comfort you. That joy will come in the morning. Give them hope, belief, Lord, that you are for them. Who can be against them? You love them.